You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday the 30th of September 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I do apologise that we don't have Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson here with us. He's very ill from the COVID, thankfully. It doesn't seem to be affecting his lungs, but he does have a very high fever. He was expecting to be able to be here today when I last spoke to him. Last night, he was unable to record his Orthodox Nationalist podcast for this week, unable to do the live show today. Hopefully, he will be better by next week. So I'm going to do a solo show today, and I'm going to leave the geopolitics until Matt is back. So please do remember him in your prayers, and do remember that this is his only income. He doesn't work at universities anymore. He just does independent research and he relies on his listeners and his readers to fund that research. So if you want to help him out, you can pray for him and you can also send him a donation. And you can find details on how to send him a donation at theorthodoxnationalist.wordpress.com, and you can also find links to the books of his that you can purchase there. Well, today I would like to talk about some common sense that is being shown by the sporting industry at long last. Why they have to do a study to actually come up with this, I don't know, because it just seems obvious to anybody that isn't an extreme leftist, but they have now done a study and they have decided that yes, there is a difference between transgender men and biological women. Transgender athletes have an unfair advantage in female sports, who would have guessed? And a new universal category should be introduced for them, a major review has suggested. And of course, this is what we've been saying here at Radio Albion for quite some time, that they should just introduce a new category and have transgenders competing against other transgenders. The whole point of having females competing against females, males competing against males, disabled competing against disabled, is so that there is a sense of fair play, so that people are competing against others that have roughly the same attributes, are born with the same attributes, and whether they win or not is based down to how hard they have practiced. So it's an even competition. I mean, really, they should actually have racial categories as well, because we know that there are differences between the races. We know that certain Negro races have an advantage in the short distance running and they have an advantage in the jumping. And we can see this at the Olympics in the 100 meter sprint, and we can see it in basketball. We also know that Caucasians have an advantage at swimming because they have a larger chest cavity, which enables them to float easier and they have less dense bones. The Chinese, I'm not quite sure what physical advantages they have, but they do have a higher IQ. Obviously, they're going to be good at games like chess, I would have thought. But there are differences between the genders, there are differences between the races, and there are unfair advantages in sport. And it just seems so obvious to everybody that it would not be fair to put a male competing against a female just because they have slightly lower testosterone or because they've been wearing a wig and makeup for the last few years. And of course, this has led to serious injuries on the part of the biological women, particularly in sports such as wrestling and MMA. The report from Sport England concluded that trans women have an advantage in some sports, even when testosterone levels have been reduced. To protect female sport whilst also ensuring transgender participation, the report suggested that new universal or open categories are introduced for trans athletes. And this article has only just come out. I'm fairly certain that there will be another article that comes out that accuses them of marginalising transgenders or discriminating against them by saying that they should have their own category. But really, it's just in the interests of fairness. No, I don't think anybody is thinking about discriminating against trans people here. They're concerned about discriminating against biological women. Currently, under International Olympic Committee guidelines, transgender athletes can compete in elite sport as a woman, provided their testosterone levels are below 10 nanomoles per litre for at least 12 months before their first competition. And I find this quite incredible, to be honest, because if you're a male and you have low testosterone, the NHS won't actually give you testosterone therapy unless you actually test below 7 or 8 nanomoles. So what they're effectively saying here is that men could have been competing against women or transgenders that actually had the same testosterone levels as men that would be not be referred to as actually having low testosterone. Women's testosterone levels are usually below 1.0, and yet they've been allowing these transgender males to compete with 10.0. And I guess they're doing this because it must be very difficult to actually rid the male body completely of testosterone. I guess that's why they're doing this, so that they could allow them to compete against women, even though they haven't actually rid their bodies entirely of testosterone. And of course, they won't be able to do that because they are biological males. Later on in this report, we'll get into some more details about the differences between the genders, but the biological differences. It's not just a social construct. Of course, they say the same about race, don't they? Race is just a social construct. It's not. It's a biological reality as well as a social construct. And the differences between men and women are a biological reality as well as a social construct. The new review from UK Sport, Sport England, Sport Wales, Sport Scotland, and Sport Northern Ireland ruled that testosterone suppression does not take away the physical advantages of trans women in female sport. Well, of course not, because they've had that growth spurt. They will be that much taller. They will have that much more muscle. Men are, on average, a third stronger than women. They have a third more upper body strength. They say because of this, it said that it is not possible to guarantee safety and competitive fairness in some sports. And again, I mean, how long has this been going on for? Why is it only now that they're doing this study? How could they see these women that were getting beaten up by men that were claiming to be women and allow this to go on? We've also had instances of them being beaten in on the cycle track as well. And I think the person that beat them had only taken up cycling a year before. Because we also have these instances where we have men that are now claiming to be women and they've only picked up the sport a year before or 2 years before. And suddenly they become the world's best female athlete in whatever the sport is that they are taking part in. It even suggested that some sports could come up with new formats, such as non-contact versions of team sports that can be played safely and fairly by everyone. And again, I can see there that they would complain that they were being discriminated against, they were being treated differently than the men who are able to have a contact sport. The long-awaited document reviews the latest research and is based on interviews with 300 people and 175 organisations, and it took 18 months to compile, to tell them what is just basic common sense that everybody knew already. Long-term evidence indicates that males have numerous physical advantages in sport compared with females, and this is recognised in law, the sports councils state. So why have they been allowing this to go on then? Why is it that we're being told that the law tells us that we have to say that transgender women are actually women when they're not? They're transgender women. You have to have those two words at the beginning, transgender, because they're not actually biological women. Current research indicates that testosterone suppression does not negate this physical advantage over females and so cannot guarantee competitive fairness and or safety. The guidance provides content and a framework on which sports can make decisions and sets out some of the options a sport might consider, from prioritising transgender inclusion or protecting the female category, and to additionally introducing universal admission. And what they've been concentrating on so far is prioritising transgender inclusion at the expense of biological females. I mean, it must be quite crushing for these women that have been working hard and practicing at their sport since a young age as a child, and they work really hard at it and they make their way to the top, and suddenly a transgender comes in who is in their 30s or their 40s, who just picked up the sport last year, and they get beaten by them. It must be absolutely crushing for them. It continues, sports governing bodies may choose to offer sport in which the female category is protected for reasons of competitive fairness and or safety if they are gender affected. These sports would offer both a female category and an open category. Female entries would be required to declare themselves as recorded female at birth. An open category would be available for any competitor to enter. And that is eminently sensible, isn't it? Why didn't they think of that before? The sports councils are not regulatory bodies, and the documents are for guidance within the UK. They do not apply to international or elite sport, but I should imagine they will now be referred to by people that are taking the councils to court for forcing them to compete against biological men. However, this is a significant contribution to the debate around transgender participation, and it may herald changes at the elite level. The IOC announced recently that their guidelines are no longer fit for purpose, and they are continuing to review them, the UK Sports Council said. That's interesting. I didn't know that they had admitted that they're no longer fit for purpose. The issue of trans participation came into sharp focus ahead of the Tokyo Olympics after the New Zealand team selected transgender athlete Hubbard to compete in the 87 kilos plus weightlifting category. And Hubbard, I believe, is actually in their 40s. It's quite odd. They look very masculine, even though they've been living as a female. And they did actually not win. They actually failed to lift the weight that they were intending to lift. And people had suggested that maybe this was all a setup, and that was deliberately done to create lots of scandal around this and then have the transgender actually lose. The debate over Hubbard's participation swung between her right to take part as a trans athlete who is compliant with the IOC guidelines for testosterone suppression and concern over any retained physical advantage stemming from growing up as a male. And there were lots of transgender activists that were complaining that transgenders should be allowed to take part, and when people were pointing out, but yes, but there's a, you know, that there's a risk of biological females getting hurt in contact sports, and also it's not fair that they have this biological advantage, they were just saying, well, everybody has to compete, everybody has to work hard at their sport. It's not like these transgenders aren't actually still having to train, but that's not the point, is it? The point is that it should be an even match. They should be evenly matched. It's for the same reason that you wouldn't put, if you're at school, you wouldn't put somebody much older to compete against somebody much younger. It's just in the interests of fairness, which just seems to have gone out in the windows as far as these social justice issues are concerned. They don't seem to care about how fair it is for everybody else on things such as not being able to talk about the subjects that you want to talk about, not being able to give your opinions. You're only allowed to give your opinion if it coincides with the social justice warriors' opinions. You're not allowed to complain about transgender participation in sport, because then you will be accused of being transphobic, and then you run the risk of being cancelled. In the case of the Labour MP who was labelled as transphobic, she couldn't even attend the Labour Party conference this year because she was fearful that somebody might do violence to her. I mean, these activists... They are very violent. You don't see the violence that's coming from the traditionalists. You don't hear about traditionalists attacking people on the far left, but it's always people on the far left that end up attacking traditionalists, basically. Belgian weightlifter Anna van Bellingen, who was due to compete against Hubbard in Tokyo, said prior to the competition, "It is unfair to the sport and it is unfair to the athletes. The whole thing feels like a bad joke." And it is like a joke, really, because we're continually told that men are the same as women. Women are the same as men. Women can do anything just as well as a man can. And then when you get men who are claiming to be women and they take part in these sports, women are shown that in actual fact, no, they're not the same as men. And they end up having to make a big point about this because it's unfair that the men are competing against them. So it does make a big mockery, basically, of this idea that the sexes are the same and there's no difference between men and women, that there are big differences between men and women. And we should be capitalizing on those differences, not pretending that they don't exist. "Biology in sport matters," declared British Olympic swimmer Sharon Davies on Twitter after Hubbard's Olympic selection was announced. However, Australian competitor Charisma Amy Tarrant said she had no problem with Hubbard's inclusion, and the Kiwi transgender athlete also received support from the New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern. Well, no surprise there that the former head of what was it, the World Communist League, the former head of the World Communist League also supports this. Jacinda Ardern will support just about any left-wing cause she can think of. The UK sports councils are unequivocal in saying that suppressing testosterone for 12 months cannot guarantee fairness. Again, why do they have to do a huge study to look at this? We know that testosterone causes muscle growth, bone growth. We know what happens when boys grow into men. They become much stronger than women. We know that men are taller than women, and we know that just having low testosterone levels once you are an adult is not going to turn you into a woman. It's not going to make it even when you are competing against a woman. There appears to be a retention of physical capacity in transgender people who suppress testosterone from male levels, they add. Such physical differences will also impact on safety parameters in sports which are combat, collision, or contact in nature. The review highlights recent research which supports the council's conclusions. The guidelines say that adult male athletes have on average a 10 to 12% performance advantage over female competitors in swimming and running events, and that increases to a 20% advantage in jumping events and a 35% greater performance in strength-based sports such as weightlifting for similar-sized athletes. And just waiting for the compilers of this report to be accused of discriminating against women here by saying that men have an advantage. I wonder what advantage they could find that men actually have in endurance, things like jobs that require endurance. What about IQ? I did hear that originally when they came up with IQ tests that it showed a difference between males and females. So they actually did away with those original IQ tests and came up with some new IQ tests that showed that men and women had the same IQ. mean, you wouldn't really expect that. Women are better at emotional things. They're better at social things. And men are better at problem solving. And this is why when we're at schools now, we have to have education that is tailored to women, and it doesn't really bring the best out of the boys, which is why we don't have so many males that are going to university now, because everything is tailored towards females. And if we have something that men can do and that women can't, then we're told that this is discriminating against women somehow. But of course, women can do things that men can't do. Women can have children, they can propagate the race. It's a very important role that women have been granted by nature. And if they really want to be content, then they need to fulfill that role rather than trying to be doing the things that men are doing. And I think this highlights this, doesn't it? You know, the ridiculousness of women pretending to be men. An understanding of the gap between the two sexes can be recognised by results of practice matches between national senior women's football teams against underage boys' teams in recent years, the sports bodies say. The national teams from Australia, USA and Brazil were beaten comprehensively 7-0, 5-2 and 6-0 respectively by club teams of 14 and 15-year-old schoolboys. So 14 and 15-year-old schoolboys beat the women's football teams from Australia, USA and Brazil. And yet the American women's football team seem to think that they should be paid the same amount of money as the male team, because they claim they're being discriminated against, but they're not as good as the male team, are they? They're not even as good as a team of schoolboys. So why would they be doing this if they know that they're never going to actually be the very best at it? Why don't they do something that they are going to be the very best at? I really don't get this mentality of trying to do things that you know that you're never going to be the very best at. You know that you're not actually physically built to do. We also know that women that do these sports and do these endurance sports, they mess their bodies up. A lot of the times they're not actually able to have children, or they have problems when they have children. They have problems in later life because they're not built to be doing physical things. They're built to be producing children and rearing children. And men are built to be protecting the woman and providing for the woman while she is rearing the children, while she's teaching the children and watching them grow up. And the men are built to protect the women. So in things such as sport, it's a male thing. Of course, women want to exercise, and maybe there are sports that women are maybe better at than men, I guess. I mean, I struggle to think of any. Obviously, they want to keep fit, but why would you want to take this risk with damaging your body to be doing something that you're never actually going to be the very best at it, when you could be doing something that you can be the very best at, which is being a mother? It seems crazy to me that this goes on. I don't think it would have been able to go on hundreds of years ago. I think it only goes on today because women are given a false idea of the way that the world is. They're given a false idea of what they're capable of. They're continually told that whatever they can dream of, they can do and they can achieve it. And that's just not true, basically. And we shouldn't give people these false hopes, because then when they don't achieve them, they end up getting very upset. It's like when we tell children that they can change gender, and they go through puberty blockers and they go on this pathway to changing gender, and then they get to an adult and they realise, well, actually, you can't actually change gender, and all you've actually done is modified your body in lots of ways that maybe you wish you hadn't actually done now that you've become an adult. And this is why we see so many of these transgenders are actually committing suicide, because they realise that they can't actually change their sex. They can make a few cosmetic changes, but it doesn't actually change the body that they have. It would be far better that we encourage them to be satisfied and happy with the biological body that they have. Individual sports will have to consider what the guidelines mean for them. The issues under consideration will vary. For example, the guidelines highlight potential safety considerations for collision and combat sports and fairness issues for power sports like sprinting. No one was able to offer a single solution which would resolve all the identified issues or that would satisfy all the stakeholders, the review states, before calling for a complete reset to the system. I think the way to solve this is just to have a transgender category, or as they suggest here, a universal category. In addition, the sports councils stress the need to encourage participation for all. Sport must be a place where everyone can be themselves, where everyone can take part, and where everyone is treated with kindness, dignity, and respect. The guidelines state, well, it's not really treating biological women with dignity and respect to place them in a competition against biological men, is it? And that's the point. And hopefully this review will now prevent that from happening in Britain, at least. Sports will have to consider whether they are prioritising transgender inclusion, protecting the female category by having open and female-only sections, or establishing new formats by adapting rules to include non-contact versions of team sports so that everyone can play. And as I say, I think the best way to deal with this is just to have a universal category. The key point is that there is a reason why we have separate male and female categories for sport, and the reason is the biological difference between men and women. Chris Levy, a solicitor advocate in the Bird and Bird Sports Group in London, told Sports Mail earlier this year. He said, obviously there is a huge overlap in sporting ability between men and women. But at the elite level of sport, in athletics, for example, you can compare men's and women's world records and you can see the advantage is about 10% or 12%, and it can go up to 20% in some sports and 30% in weightlifting. The empirical evidence and the science supports that. A trans woman challenges the binary categories that sport operates in. Before they undergo any testosterone suppression treatment, a trans woman is effectively a biological male with XY chromosomes, testes, male levels of testosterone, who as a result has all the physical advantages that any man has over any woman, and some physical advantages that result from high levels of testosterone while growing up will endure, such as if you have been through a male puberty, then you are going to have height advantages, a bigger heart, and bigger lungs, which will not be affected by testosterone suppression. So even when they have this lower testosterone, they still have the bigger body that they have as a male, which is why they're taking part in these competitions, isn't it? When you look at the size of Hubbard, the transgender weightlifter, you can see why they decided to go in for weightlifting, because they have this huge body. Well, it's good news anyway that common sense is finally prevailing. I guess it will not be so funny anymore when we're watching these competitions. When you see women competing against men, ostensibly just because of political correctness, the ludicrousness of it, and I guess we won't have so many stories for Clown World in review. Looking at these, but it's a good thing for women anyway, for the women that compete in sport, that hopefully, at least in Britain now, they shouldn't have to compete against men anymore, men claiming to be women. Well, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.